From Hollywood, California, we bring you The Smiths of Hollywood. Greetings, radio eavesdroppers from The Smith, played as usual by Brenda Marshall as Nancy Smith.
Bumps, what do you mean getting home so late?
Jan Ford as daughter Bumps.
Uncle Cecil and I were walking in the woods and a fire warden stopped us.
Harry Von Zell as Bill Smith.
Well, Uncle Cecil, didn't you see all those signs? No smoking allowed?
William, I wasn't smoking allowed. I was hardly making a sound.
And that was Arthur Treacher as Sir Cecil Smythe, the Smith's visiting uncle from England. Yes? What would radio do without the word yes? Yes, you're tuned right to The Smith, the program with very special appeal. A word of warning to music lovers. Charles Hathaway and his Juilliard Fugitives furnish the orchestral interlude. Our sponsor, of course, needs no introduction. Smiths of Hollywood. Bumps, start your story.
Gee, guess what happened at our house today? Pups, 8 of them. It's the first time it ever happened to me. Well, I mean the first time... Say, how did that business about storks ever get started anyway? When I think of all the propaganda that's going around, well, I...
Child, you're just like all women. You can never come to the point of a story. This story started this morning when Bumps and I went for a stroll in the Hollywood Hills. Thought some fresh air would cure my headache.
So don't walk so fast. I can't keep up with you.
Why do you suppose I'm walking so fast? Must you stop to sniff every flower?
I'm not sniffing. I'm looking to see how the bees operate. Isn't nature amazing?
It certainly is. Have you ever considered how far-sighted nature is? The way our ears are placed, for example?
Haven't our ears always been like they are now?
That's precisely my point. Thousands of years ago, how did nature know people were going to be wearing glasses someday?
Gee, that's right. How would you keep glasses on a horse or a chicken?
Why should a horse or a chicken want glasses?
Well, that's what you just said. People need glasses, and so their ears.
Are you trying to start an argument?
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Well, must you go around agreeing with everybody?
What an old codger. I bet if they closed the Rosebud Bar and Grill and we all went back to nature, you'd live under a log.
Oh, you little eyesore, pick up your feet and stop chattering.
I think if we all went back to nature, I'd be a bee.
With a stinger at both ends, no doubt.
No, I'd like to pollinize flowers. You know how nature works, don't you?
Can't say that I do.
You mean nobody has ever explained to you about the birds and the bees? Well, you see, a bee goes to one flower and gets pollen and takes it to another flower. And the first thing you know, buds.
With that mind, you'll probably end up writing bestsellers.
Oh, everybody knows about bees and flowers. Only there's some things I can't figure out, like, well, why does a bee do it?
They're flower lovers, obviously. I don't know.
And why don't they ever get mixed up going from flower to flower? Like, what if the bee started out in the clover patch and then flew to a petunia?
Of what possible interest could that be to anyone but a petunia?
Well, and another thing, how do little bees fit into the picture?
Don't ask a little bee. I don't know. I say, this sort of thing isn't helping my headache at all, you know.
And come to think of it, what about the plants that grow in the Pacific Ocean? How do they get pollinized?
If I told you they were taken care of by the sea bees, would that quiet you? Come on, let's sit and rest a bit.
Oh, I'm not tired.
Well, I am, and this sun isn't helping. Should have put on some oil. Is my nose red?
Don't blame that on the sun.
You know, they should have turned the ekak loose on the stalk that delivered you.
That's another thing, storks. Do you believe the stork story?
Child, can't we talk about something less controversial?
Pop says anything I want to know, he'll tell me. But it always embarrasses him so much, I hate to ask.
Yes, I'm sure embarrassment is an emotion your generation will never discover.
Well, I believe in finding out. Hey, did you hear that?
I say, do you have tigers in these hills?
It sounded more like a dog. It is a dog, look.
Oh, it is, yes. Well, here, boy, here. Come on.
I wonder what he's doing way up here in the hills alone.
Come here, old fella. Come on, there's a boy. Come on.
Aw, he's nice. Look at him wag his tail. Look, what's that tied to his collar?
Well, it seems to be a piece of paper. Well, it is, yes. Listen to this. I turned Trudy loose in the hills because Ma said we couldn't afford to keep her and was going to have her killed at the dog pond. Dog pound, I think he means, yes. She is the nicest dog there ever was. If anybody finds her, please give her a home. Maybe I could come and see her once in a while. Tony Rogers, 21323 Water Street. I say, the poor little fella.
Can you imagine a Ma like that? And such a nice dog.
Yes.
Uncle Cecil, let's take the dog home with us.
Well, you know, I was thinking of that, but I don't quite know what William's reaction would be.
Aw, nice, Trudy. Gee, she looks well taken care of. See how fat she is?
Yes, she seems quite plump, doesn't she? Yes. I say, oh dear, yes.
What's the matter, Uncle Cecil?
My dear child, let's get out of here before the creature becomes attached to us. Come
but
on.
She's already attached to us.
Oh dear, now go away. Go on, go off in the night somewhere. Go on. Now, come on, Bumps, let's leave now.
But a minute ago you said we might take her home.
Yes, I must have been out of my head. Now, go away, I tell you. And quit staring at me with those soft, liquid eyes.
Aw, you've hurt her feelings.
Fine, let's go before she recovers. Come on, child.
We couldn't help it if she just followed us home, could we?
Oh, dear, your father would never forgive me. Now, hurry now.
Aw, Uncle Cecil.
Hurry, I say, and don't look back.
Goodbye, Trudy.
Oh, thank heavens you're being reasonable about this.
Oh, I don't feel badly. In fact, I feel quite happy now.
Oh, that's the spirit. Don't be depressed. And don't do that. Oh, what a treacherous child. Now, you grab my hand and let's travel and stop that whistling. Oh, what a treacherous child. Oh, what a treacherous child. Now you've done it, child.
I couldn't help it if the dog decided to follow us home.
I suppose your whistling had nothing to do with the whole affair.
Well, gee, ain't it a free country? Hasn't a girl the right to whistle?
No. We're almost home, and now we'll never get rid of that confounded animal.
I bet Pop won't care a bit. What's one dog to feed?
My dear child, you are not in command of all the facts.
But Trudy seems to be an awfully nice dog.
That's not the question. Of course, we can't just leave her on the street. I tell you, Bumps, I'll take Trudy to the garage. Now, you send your father out, and I'll use my persuasive efforts.
All right. But Pop will be happy, I promise you.
Well, I hope so, child. I hope so. And as I said, William, we found her wandering in the hills, a fine animal.
Her name is Trudy.
Yeah, well, she doesn't seem to have much spirit, the way she just lies there in the corner.
Well, you know, William, it's a long walk from the hills. I feel like lying in a corner, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Bumps likes her, I don't see why we can't give her a home.
Aw, gee, thanks, Pop.
All right.
Aw, you're swell.
William, you have a heart of gold. Trudy, you're in.
Yeah, well, now, you two go ahead and fix her a bed.
Oh, one moment, William.
Huh?
There's one little detail I forgot to tell you.
Oh, what's that?
Well, it's really nothing of importance. Lend me your ear for a moment.
Yeah. No, I can't hear you. What'd you say? She is?
Oh, no. Well, get her out of here, quick.
Oh, William, William, you should know William, that. Would you turn a dog out on a day like this?
Why does this have to happen to me? Nancy will have a fit.
But you yourself said Trudy is a fine dog.
Oh, well, you don't know what... I mean, all the trouble and... Oh.
Pop, what's the matter?
Well, nothing, Bumps, nothing at all. You two stay here and I'll go talk to Nancy. Oh, dear. Now, let's see. I'll say to her, Nancy... A man's best friend is a dog. No, that won't work. Let's see. I'll say, Nancy, I very seldom use my authority around the house, and though this may displease you... No, I tried that once and it did displease her. I can't... Oh, I've got it. I know. I'll say, Nancy, being a mother yourself, you can probably understand the heartache of one who is a... But that's it. That's the approach.
Nancy.
I'm in the living room, darling.
In the living room.
Well, did you expect to find me under the eaves in the attic?
Yeah.
No. Nancy?
Well, it is a lovely name, dear. Isn't it?
Yeah. Nancy, you're beautiful. And you have a head on your shoulders, too.
I have.
Yeah?
How did that get there?
Oh, listen, I want to be serious. Come out to the garage, dear. There's something I want to show
you. Look, I just came in to turn on the radio. Can you wait till I listen to my program?
Fine. What if I'd said no? Nancy, listen, I have to say something important.
Can it wait? The morning symphony's just coming on.
Well, I hope it waits. I hope it waits, dear.
The members of the orchestra are taking their places. They're tuning up. They tune up every year about this time. Here comes Maestro Hathaway to the podium. The audience goes wild with applause. Maestro Hathaway signals for silence. Now he raises his baton. And the symphony begins. There seems to be some confusion here. That wasn't the beginning of the symphony. Maestro Hathaway's suspenders broke. While he's borrowing those of the slide trombonist, we'll have a word from our sponsor. Symphony. The orchestra's again tuning up.
Oh, Nancy, listen, come on. This is important.
All right, if you insist. Now, what was it you wanted to show me in the garage, darling?
Well, Nancy, did you ever hear Senator Vest's tribute to man's best friend?
Is Senator Vest out in the garage?
Yeah. No. You must have heard Senator Vest's speech about his dog.
No, I don't think I have. What did he say?
What did he say? He said, gentlemen... Nancy, how's the rest of it go again? You know.
Well, I don't know, darling. I never even heard it.
Well, you have heard it. Everybody's heard the man's best. Who is it when a man is sick? Who is it when all other friends have deserted him? Who is it? Who is it?
I give up. Who is it?
Oh. Nancy.
Oh, now don't sulk, darling.
Well, I'm not sulking if you just listen to me. It's man's best friend. That's who is it. It is it.
Mm. What a beautiful thought. It's a man's best friend. That's who is it.
Nancy, sometimes I think you don't have any feeling at all. How would you feel if you were about to have several children?
Well, Bill Smith, what on earth are you talking about?
Trudy, she was wandering around in the hills.
Well, you sound like you've been wandering around in the hills.
Driven from home, not a friend in the world.
What on earth are you trying to tell me, dear?
Mom, Pop, quick!
What?
Trudy, it's blossoming!
Yeah. There, you see?
Out in the garage, quick!
What's out in the garage?
Pop, eight of them!
Eight? Octuplets! I'm a father! Quick! Boiling water! Quick!
I say eight of them. We certainly hit the jackpot.
Boy, will this make me kingpin with the other kids?
Now, look, don't handle the pups, Bumps. And run to the back porch and get me that old blanket.
Oh, Nancy, you're a wonder.
Look, Senator Vest, don't stand there so helpless. No. Put some newspapers over the garage window. The light's awfully bright in here.
Right.
I say, what are you going to do with all the pups?
No time to think about that now.
Here's the blanket, Mom.
Easy, Bumps. Don't dash up to poor Trudy like that. You'll frighten her.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gee, eight. Mom, why didn't you have eight of me?
Oh! Oh, what a frightening, what an utterly frightening thought.
Oh. Well, come on, let's all get out of the garage and leave the mother alone. Come on now, all of you.
After this, the flower will never be quite the same to me.
Close the door, Bill. Well.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
Me too. I say, William, shouldn't we have a bit of scotch to celebrate?
Oh, scotch again. With him, anything is an excuse.
Yeah, you don't know what you've let yourself in for, old boy, you know. Food when the pups get older, 9 dog licenses, distemper shots, frightful expense.
Oh, well, now, listen, we're not going to keep 9 dogs.
You're not
going to
drown the puppies, are you?
Well, of course not, Bumps.
What are we going to do with them?
What are we? We'll give them away. Maybe keep the mother and...
But she belongs to the boy who tried the note to her collar.
Yes, you're going
to
have a frightful time giving those pups away, you know. They're mongrels, you know.
Why, you old snob, you.
Oh, not me, William, but most people are.
Well, we can't give them away now anyway. They have to be weaned.
Sure, but we ought to start making arrangements. Now, as it happens, I have a plan.
Yeah, well, no, you don't. Now, Uncle Cecil, I don't trust your plans. I'll start calling people. A lot of our friends must want a dog. I'll get on the phone right away. And...
Have it your way, William, but I don't think it'll work.
But, Ellsworth, as I told you, your boy should have a dog, and here's a chance to get one free. And they're... Papers? No, I don't have papers on them, but that shouldn't matter. Do you have to have a pedigree dog? Ellsworth, let me ask you. Did you ever hear Senator Best's tribute to a dog? Who is it when a man is sick? Who is it when all other friends have deserted you? But, George, wait a minute. George, you don't understand. I'm offering you the pup free. I don't know. Maybe Airedale, maybe Collie. What's the difference? A dog is a dog. And you know what Senator Best said. He said, who is it when a man is sick? Who is it? Nuts. That's the 8th phone call, and we still have 8 pups. Why do people have to be so hepped on pedigree?
I told you, William, most people are snobs. You won't be able to give those pups away, you know.
Well, I suppose you can do it.
As I said, I have a plan.
Yes, I'll bet.
Now, you've tried your idea. Now, let me try mine. Turn the whole affair over to me, William, and I'll find homes for them.
Now, listen, Uncle Cecil, I don't know what you're up to, but no funny stuff. I want none of that hanky-panky, and I won't let you give those pups to anyone who might mistreat them.
Never fear, William, never fear. As it happens, I like dogs a little better than I like people.
Mom! Pop, did you see the sign Uncle Cecil put up on the front lawn?
Is that what he wanted a paintbrush for?
What kind of a sign, Bumps?
It says rare Snackle Booper puppies on exhibit here. The rarest breed in America. Price $500. Come in and see them. Admission 25 cents.
What?
$500, dear?
Yeah, and you should see all the people out front. Mom, do we have any lemons?
Lemons? What for?
Well, I would open a lemonade stand on the front lawn. Uncle Cecil and I are in business together.
Well, all right, dear, but go easy on the sugar, will you?
Oh, I'm not going to use sugar. Uncle Cecil said we put a sign on the stand saying, pure lemon juice and water, unadulterated with foreign substances.
Yeah. Oh, there you are. Uncle Cecil, there's a brain for you. Wait a minute. Will somebody explain to me what exactly is a Snackle Booper dog? What is that?
Well, I'm not sure myself. It's Uncle Cecil's idea.
Oh, hello. I say, is there any turpentine? Got a little paint on my hands.
Now, look, Uncle Cecil, this is ridiculous. What's the idea of putting that sign up out there?
William, I'm using psychology, and it's working, what's more.
What, Snackle Booper poopies?
No. Snackle Booper puppies, I bought.
Oh, poopers, puppies, what, $500 apiece? Who do you expect to fall for a thing like that?
Well, I frankly know the old boy. It's psychology, William.
Psychology.
Yeah, stick around and you'll see. Oh, there's a customer outside. Excuse me, will you? Hello.
How do you do? I am Mrs. Giltmore.
Charmed, I'm sure. I am Sir Cecil Smythe. Did you come to see the dogs?
Yes. I've heard so much about the rare snacker, snap bumpers.
No, snapper boopers.
Oh, yes. Yes, they're English, aren't they? Yeah. It seems to me I read somewhere they were favorites of the royal family.
Step in here, madam, and see for yourself. 25 cents, please, will you? Thank you.
Oh, they're cunning. You can almost see their royal ancestry.
Madam, I wouldn't be surprised if a snapper booper didn't lie behind the chair of Henry VIII and catch the bones he hurled over his shoulder. A dog very much like any of these, perhaps.
Really? How terribly delightful.
Yes, they're a rare crossbreed. Quite complicated, too. Like a French recipe. You take a little poodle and a dash of boxer, stir in a bit of German shepherd, season with Airedale. This is the father I'm talking about, you understand?
Oh? And what was the mother?
Friendly.
Indeed. How do you ever get papers on such a dog?
My point, madam. Look at the paperwork that is saved.
Well, but all the dogs I know have pedigrees.
Really? Do you have a pedigree?
What an impertinent question. Most everyone in town knows that we trace our family back to the Pilgrim Landing. We are fine old English stock.
Really, yes. Well, we who remained in England have no clear recollection of the families we expelled from the country a couple of hundred years ago, you know. You see, of course, I have a sort of pedigree, Knight of His Majesty's Court and all that.
Oh, here in America, we don't believe in such nonsense.
But you apparently do, madam. A dog is man's best friend, and you're more concerned with the accident of parentage.
Breeding is of utmost importance.
Who was your great-grandfather, and... Who was your great-grandmother, if any?
How dare you?
Oh, you claim old English stock. How do you know there isn't a smidget of Turkish in your family, or even Russian or Hindu? How do you know? Can you be positive of your ancestry all the way back?
Oh, well, of all the impudence.
I'm sorry, old girl. If you want to look at the Snackle Booper puppies, I'm afraid I'll have to insist on looking at your papers.
Who are you? You British socialist. I'm an American, and I don't have to listen to such talk. Goodbye.
Ho-ho-ho-ho-ho! I say, one puppy from a horrible fate. Imagine living with that old biddy.
Yes, imagine it. And imagine if she'd actually paid you $500 for a puppy. I heard all that, Uncle Cecil.
William, there are some things worth more than money. Anyway, she wouldn't have done it. That type never does. But stick around and watch.
Well,
Hi. My name is Stafford. I'm interested in seeing those dogs here.
Come in, old fella. 25 cents, will you? Thank you.
It's worth two bits to see a dog worth $500. Oh, is that them?
But it's quite definitely them, Mr. Stafford.
It's a good racket, isn't it?
Racket?
Sure. You're selling pedigrees, not dogs.
My dear fellow, you don't believe in pedigrees?
For scientific breeding, for records, maybe. But for snobbery, no.
I say, a man of my own choice.
I know about dogs. They're all alike. There are good ones, bad ones, in all breeds. I judge the dog. Not how his tail curls, not his color or the shape of his nose.
Do you actually mean that?
Of course.
Mr. Stafford, would you like a snacker booper puppy with my compliments?
Well, now, maybe I would, but I haven't that kind of money to throw around.
Oh, of course not, old boy. I'll give him to you. Help yourself.
Well, thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure, old boy, really. I say, William, you know, business is flourishing. We found homes for 5 puppies and cleaned up $10 in admission. How's Bumps doing with the lemonade?
Are there any more lemons?
Bumps, did you sell that whole 5-gallon jug of lemonade?
I've made $4.60.
Well, that makes a total of $14.65. Think that will do it, Bumps, old girl?
It might. We can go try.
Now, wait a minute. Will you tell me what's going on? What are you two planning to do with that money?
Why, it's simple, William. We are going to wean the puppies, then place them in our new homes and deliver Trudy back to the little boy who owned her, along with this money. Perhaps his mother will let him keep her then.
Why, Uncle Cecil, that's the nicest thing I ever heard of.
He's been drinking spiked lemonade.
You know, that's not a bad idea, William.
Yes.
But the truth is, I got to thinking that though there are a tremendous number of bigoted people who carry their snobbery and prejudice all the way to a choice of a dog, still there must be a lot of honest people who know that the word thoroughbred means exactly what it says. Thoroughly bred out of many mixtures. You see, it's the same with dogs or people. Well, those are the kind of people who've taken our snaffle-booper pups. They took them because they wanted a dog.
Well, bravo, Uncle Cecil, bravo. And the drinks are on me.
I say that's an excellent suggestion,
Willem.
I thought
you'd like it.
Yes. You know, sometimes you're a fine nephew, a thoroughbred.
Thank you.
There's one thing I'm still wondering about, though. What does snaffle-booper mean?
Yes.
Oh, well, now, these pups out of good stock, aren't they?
Well, I suppose so, but Snackle Booper?
And it looked like they were doomed to be orphans, huh?
Come to the point, Uncle Cecil.
And in a manner of speaking, they were lost in the woods till someone showed them a way out.
Well, all right, but what does all this have to do with Snackle Booper?
Well, to sum up, William, Snackle Booper, spelled backwards, is Republican. Oh!
Now, a message from the management. Still 3 pups, if anybody's interested, but it's time to leave
hold
now.
Hold it just a minute.
No time, Bill.
I have
The Smiths of Hollywood is written by Dick Nosselman and Bob Presnell, Jr.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you what Democrats spelled backwards.
And directed by Bob Presnell, Jr. Andrew Hickox is the producer.
Yeah, let's see. A Democrat backwards is... I'll work it out.
The original music is scored and conducted by Charles Hathaway. Starring in our cast are Arthur Treacher, Brenda Marshall, Harry Von Zell, and Jan Ford.
Yeah, it goes T-A-R-C...
Also in the cast was Lois Corbett as Mrs. Giltmore.
Democrat backwards is tough. T-A-R-C-O-M.
Now, this is Tyler McVeigh, the Smith Man Friday, saying so long until next time.
It comes out tar-com-ed. Yeah, well, I guess there's nothing you can do with a backward Democrat.
So long.